Faith Radio Mornings with Ted and PK, 7:37 on this Wednesday morning. Good morning.
Nice to have you along today. And if you have strong-willed, children, maybe it's more than one, maybe you have just that child that's going through a really interesting struggle.
You're not talking about the spouse now. Obviously, you're talking about kids.
Well, some of us do have children who are actually older than us, but yes. I always say I have three children, and one of them happens to be in his 60s.
Yeah, right.
But John and Kendra Smiley are joining us this morning, and we're going to just take a few moments to talk about maybe those times when we say, I love my child. No, really, I do. And maybe we need to re-examine why we're saying that. Good morning, you guys. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, this is something that I think parents deal with, I would say, at least once, if not several times throughout their parenting years. Do you agree?
Oh, yeah. And we hear it a lot when we're doing seminars, especially strong-willed child seminars. They'll go tell us, you know, some episode that's happened or some way they've, you know, forgotten to set a consequence or delivered it and felt horrible. And then they'll pause right in the middle and say, I love my child. Really, I do.
Really? And sometimes they lead with that. Now, I'm going to tell you something, but I want you to know first that I love my kid.
And we've never said, I wonder if this person loves her child.
Yeah, and we, you know, people haven't suggested that at all. It's not a thing spoken out loud. Like, we don't often go around asking, do you really love your kids? It's just this kind of assumption that people think.
We never do.
Yeah. It's an insecurity almost that comes forward. Well, why do we feel like this is necessary, do you think?
Well, people, you know, the person that's saying it has this idea that people suspect that this child may not really be easy to love. And so this, whether it's stated or whether it's implied, and it could, you know, obviously in the mother's eyes, it's, we're going to use the mother today, it could be the dad, usually it's mom saying it though, but it's a misconception, you know, and so I've got to straighten out this misconception, and so she blurts out those words.
Right, and I think another reason that they say it is we look at the difference between love and like, and the parent may not like their child at that point. The child may be really frustrating and upsetting to them, and they know in their heart that they don't like them very much right then, but they want to let people know, well, I still love my child. It's just that, you know, things are going on right now that it's so, you know, it's very frustrating, and I don't like them very much right now. And that's a hard thing to distinguish, that we don't want other people to think, oh my goodness, you know, this parent may not love their kid.
Well, and it doesn't always sound very good either. If you're struggling with your child and you're wanting to say, well, this kid is such a brat, I can't stand them. Well, that doesn't sound like a very good mommy.
No. And, you know, and even if they're restraining and not using the word brat, maybe, this child is so difficult. Mm-hmm. And once a parent has identified the child that way, then, you know, they think, oh, no, now everybody thinks I don't like it. Again, another reason that they have to throw that disclaimer in there, oh, but I really love my child.
Does it come back to as far as that's a reflection on you as a parent, that you're just, if you're not dealing with it and you're not super parent at that particular moment, are we worried more even about how they're viewing us and that we're not a good enough parent or good enough Christian parent? That puts a lot of pressure on.
You mean sometimes we think it's all about us?
go figure,
me?
Huh?
Yeah. No, I think that really is a possibility. And it's interesting because a lot of times then the label strong-willed comes out. Mm-hmm. And John and I don't think that's a negative label, because we know the great, amazing things that a strong-willed child who's being parented God's way, the great things that happen. But to the majority of the world, that's, difficult or strong-willed, that labeling.
Right, and I think the other thing that happens here, I think sometimes it surprises the parent, and they know deep down inside they don't like their child very much at the point because they're frustrated or whatever, and I think that surprises them. They think, oh my goodness, you know, I'm a Christian parent, I should like my son or daughter. What's going on here? Kendra used to say about our strong-willed son over and over, you know, why does Aaron hate me so much? You know, what's going on? Why can't we just get along? And there were times where she didn't like him so much because he was frustrating her. And you know, if we haven't thought about this as a parent, again, it surprises us and we think, golly, you know, can I correct this? How's this going to play out? So it's one of those things that parents obviously don't like that feeling. But a lot of times, especially with strong-willed kids, it may rear its ugly head, and we need to be ready to deal with it.
I think, too, there's this phrase that gets spoken often, sometimes semi-privately, but it's control your kid, you know, or we're talking about the kid that's acting up in the grocery store with our friend or our son or daughter even. Maybe it's over there like, oh, that mom needs to control her kid. And if we're saying that, we're suspecting that others are saying that about us. So perhaps we have to watch how we react to somebody else's situation too, to just kind of nip that in the bud. Do you agree on that?
Yeah, and I think that a lot of that goes in, which what we talk about a lot of time with parents, and especially with strong-willed kids or kids that are acting up, and that's confidence in parenting. And if we don't have that confidence, especially in a public setting, and other kids are acting up, and we say, goodness, they're on airplanes. That's a great one.
Oh, yeah.
Where, you know, my goodness, the child is disturbing everybody. Why doesn't that mom or dad take care of that child? And then, you know, if we have a child and they start crying or whatever. But confidence is a big thing with parenting.
You know, too, I think sometimes we that disclaimer comes because the parent has had to deliver a consequence. Oh, no, I had, you know, I had I set this boundary. My child jumped over it with glee. I am now delivering the consequence. And, oh, I must not love my child. We actually hear parents say, and let's say it's a mom, well, I'm the bad cop in my family. My, you know, my husband, dad, and John and I have now said way more times than you would imagine, no, no, no. If you're the one giving legitimate, adequate, loving consequences, you're the good cop. Go home and tell the guy that.
That's good.
Yeah, and it's that whole thing again. We apologize for being the parent.
Yeah, and you believe, a lot of times parents believe a lie, and the lie is that the opposite of love is discipline. And I know it's a lie, we know it's a lie, because of God's word in Proverbs, where it says, the Lord disciplines those he loves.
Mm-hmm. Right, and I think the other thing as parents, when we look at that, when we do have the feeling of not, let's say it's not liking, we're frustrated, and I think that's one of those things, we evaluate the situation, we sit down, and we look at it for what it is. Do I, you know, is there something going on that I don't like this child? Yes, there is. And then what can we do about it? It's like anything else with a job. We evaluate the circumstance and then we find a solution, or we work on finding a solution. And I think the same thing, because we want to love our kids and we want to like our kids. And yes, sometimes they will be frustrating, but they're, most of the time, as a parent, there's something you can do to move that situation into a point where you like your kids again. And not the least of these, obviously the most important of these, is sitting down and saying, God, you know my heart, you know my child, and pray about this and talk to the Lord about it and say, we need a solution here. We need to find out, because we want our kids to grow up to be respectable adults. We want them to grow up to love God, and there's a solution here. And so, you know, we just don't want to, as my dad used to say all the time, don't bury your head in the sand. You know, take a look and see what's going on and find a solution.
Well, let's take a quick break here, and when we come back, let's get to a solution on how we can stop saying those things about loving our child and maybe apologizing for being parents. But let's give moms and dads some real practical solutions in just a moment. We're talking with John and Kendra Smiley. We'll be back in just a moment. It's 7:48. You're listening to Faith Radio Mornings with Ted and PK, and we are talking this morning with John and Kendra Smiley.
Blessed to talk with you both again, and we're talking today about the three reasons that you're compelled to say, I love my child, really, but we want to get into also how to shake this habit of kind of maybe offering disclaimer in public to others when we're talking about our kids. What's the first thing we need to do to shake this habit, Kendra?
Well, the first thing is to realize you're not obligated to present this disclaimer. You know, I think it does come from our pride. And first of all, you're assuming that one is necessary. You're assuming that whoever you're speaking to has decided you don't really love your child. And secondly, it really isn't any of their business, you know. It's really something that we say, again, because we are assuming somebody's making a very bad judgment call about us.
And is there ever a time that, like, if we're sharing, moms, you know, so many times we'll share with each other, and this is where it gets really honest and very real. Are there some times when maybe it isn't important to share every detail of these struggles? Because sometimes I think that kind of feeds our own anxiety about it.
Yeah, I think you have to make a very wise judgment call. First of all, not only about what you share, but about who you share it with. There are people in my life that I enjoy, but I know that anything that I share may be shared again, and you know, from their lips to someone else's ear. So being aware of that.
I think the time that we share and the person that we can share with continually, and we should, and that's with our spouse. And that's what Kendra did with me with our strong-willed child, because I understood basically what was going on and she didn't. And so she would say, you know, I'm not feeling so good about this, or I'm struggling here. And we would talk about it, and I could help her in that area. She helped me in a lot of different areas, but that one I could help her. So mom and dad talking together, I think that's one of the ways that we get away from saying these kind of things, because we do have an outlet there with, with our spouse. And hopefully as we talk together, then this helps and we can come up with a solution.
Yeah. And one of the other things we tend to do as parents, too, is this happens a lot of times, I think, just unwittingly, unknowingly, we'll start to throw out these labels on our kids, like, oh, this is a smart one, or this one has such a trouble listening. She's the non-listener, or, you know, whatever it is. She's my distracted one, you know.
She's my strong-willed child, you know, in front of other people.
Yeah, unless you're saying this is my firstborn, which there's no argument there.
Sure, right?
Yeah, we know of a gentleman who has five children, and he used to introduce, they're all semi-adults now, but he said, these two are my smart ones. And I always just think, what are the other three thinking? You know?
Yeah, right.
Wow.
And again, the label strong will, which most the general part of society thinks is negative. You know, now I guess if you said this is my blonde, that's okay too, unless it's a redhead, and then they know you're just telling a story. But yeah, if the label is going to be perceived as negative, or even going to separate your one child out as superior from the other, that's not a good idea. Not a good idea.
John, if we've been doing that and we know that, all of a sudden, maybe us just talking about it right now, we should stop that. Do we need to have kind of a reconciliation meeting with our child even?
Well, it depends on how old they are. I think that if they're younger, probably not. Probably just changing our actions will help the whole situation. If they're a little bit older and we've been doing that, then yeah, I would say that might be something that as a parent we say, golly, I've been saying this and I'm sorry, I'm going to change my ways. So I think a lot depends on age. I think what Kendra and I find most of the time is that this comes up when kids are pretty small, like they're 2, 3, and 4, and that mom and dad, a lot of times moms are frustrated, and then this comes up. And so at that age, it may not be necessary. The necessary thing, I think, is just changing our actions. And kids pick up on that. They see, mom's not saying, I'm strong-willed now. She's saying, and again, kids can see our actions and, you know, how we present ourselves to our kids. They pick up on that as well. So if mom is frustrated, if she doesn't like us, or dad is frustrated and he doesn't like us, we see that. But if things get straightened around, kids pick up on that as well.
Kids are pretty good at extending grace.
Mm-hmm. That's a good thing. Well, and another point, too, is that even if we don't label our kids, a lot of times they do self-labels, because if they're the second born, well, they're, the oldest one is always the smartest, and he's the favorite, and you like him more, you love him more. Or if you have a middle child, then you're just all, then it's a problem.
Dynamic.
But they will label themselves, so we don't probably need to heap anything else on that either. Talk about the discipline aspect, too, because that was what we talked about earlier, that, the opposite of love is discipline. But talk about, again, that loving discipline, because this is so critical.
Right. Right, and the opposite of love is not discipline. It's mm-hmm. actually it's apathy. Mm-hmm. Actually, the opposite of love is apathy. The parent who, oh well, whatever, do your own thing. That's one of the cruelest things you can do to a child. It's interesting because our formerly strong-willed child turned responsible adult when he was still in vet medicine school. Occasionally, he would go and speak with us, and I heard him from the platform say these words. Actually, challenge. This audience of folks that were old enough, many of them, I guess, to be his parent or at least half old enough, he said, "Do you love your child enough to maintain control?" And I thought, wow, I am memorizing that question because that's really, it's not easy. No parent likes to have to give consequences. We just want the kid to straighten up. You know, we don't want to have to do something about it. And yet the challenge is, where am I going to do what it takes? Do I love this child enough to maintain control?
Right. And I go back to that, to the position. So much of the time, the child that we don't like is the one that pushes our insecurities in our face. And that child is the one that pushes us to the ledge in the sense of not knowing what to do. And when that child is doing something and we don't know how to correct it, then that's very frustrating as a parent. And again, it goes back to understanding the confidence you have as a parent. If you have confidence and you understand what's going on, let's say that child is hitting you and you don't know how to remedy that situation, that's very frustrating. And it's something that you don't like that child because they hit you, or they're saying, "I hate you," or any number of things. And we have heard, you wouldn't believe how many things we've heard that kids try to undermine parents' confidence in the parenting situation. So for me, I think that's the big key here, and that's parents understanding what's going on and then finding a remedy to that and not allowing it to continue.
Right, having a strategy so that you don't have to make the disclaimer because you're showing love.
Mm-hmm. John and Kendra Smiley joining us again here on Faith Radio Mornings today. And if you're just getting into the conversation, we'll post a full interview at our website, myfaithradio.com. Appreciate your insight, guys, on the three reasons we're compelled to say I love my child, really, and how to shake that habit. And also should mention, you're going to be appearing at the Hearts at Home National Conference this weekend in Normal, Illinois. Maybe our Quad Cities listeners could get over there. What are you going to be talking about there?
Well, John and I are going to do a session together called Pursuer and Prize. And actually, they didn't quite get the subtitle the way I had it, but it's very close. But the real subtitle is The Marriage Secret God Wants You to Know. Oh, that's exciting. And then I'll also... I know you want to come now, don't
you? Theme music. We need theme music behind that.
And then I'm going to be doing a session called Recipe for a Positive Attitude.
Good. Oh,
great. That, again, we'll link up your website at ours, and people can find more information about the conference there, myfaithradio.com. Thank you both. We'll check in again in a couple weeks.
Thank you.